Argument, United States versus Morris, Mr. Hines.
Good morning. My name is Steve Hines. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney. I was one of the government attorneys who tried the case, and I've been involved with the case since then. The two defendants in this appeal, David Morris and Brenda Cummings, were both convicted of two separate conspiracies, the first under Title 18, Section 1029b2, of using unauthorized access devices, namely social security numbers of thousands of individuals, to obtain confidential financial information relating to those individuals. The second conspiracy count was a RICO conspiracy under Section 1962d of Title 18. That was based on their multiple acts of bribery and official misconduct. 20 months after the jury returned its verdict finding the two defendants guilty of each of those counts, and after the district court had repeatedly denied multiple post-trial motions raising various issues, the district court on its own initiative decided to order a new trial on count two, on the RICO conspiracy count. And as we discussed in the government's opening brief, the district court simply had no authority to enter such an order, to order a new trial at that point. The defendants in this case even concede this fact.
Then we really want to talk about whether the instructions were erroneous, right?
That would be fine. I, again, as set out in the and that's actually something that the defendants chose not to address at all in their responsive brief. But again, as set out in the government's brief, the instruction that the judge gave that she cited as the basis for her new trial order on November 5th of 2001 was in fact the pattern instruction that the Seventh Circuit...
Oh, wait, they have no cross appeal, so I don't understand. If they've granted the... I mean, we have to make an independent judgment, but I don't understand what other issue has to be.
Well, I agree with you on it. That was the basis, and so as part of the government's initial brief, we addressed, you know, the propriety of that instruction. But
it's not
very simply the one issue that I think is properly before the court at this time is the propriety of the new trial order, and the parties both agree that the judge was in error in granting that. I was simply trying to address.
Well, the fact is, though, if she had authority to do that, having authority was exercised improperly anyway because the instruction was correct. Isn't that your position?
That is in fact our position. The defendants, although they concede that the district court's new trial order should be reversed because the court didn't have authority, they go on in their responsive brief to make what we consider to be a very unusual argument, namely that the case should be remanded not only so that the new trial order should be reversed, but also to allow the district court to enter a judgment of acquittal on the RICO conspiracy count. And the shorter answer to that, the government feels, is that the district court did not purport to do that. So again, that's nothing that's really properly before this court. In fact, the district court had denied multiple motions for judgment of acquittal that had been presented to her before that. And it's clear that in her order on November 5th, she was not purporting to enter any judgment of acquittal or to correct anything that she had done before, but rather was coming up with a new basis for a new trial order, namely this alleged defect in the jury instruction.
Procedurally, when the verdict was returned, did she order a judgment entered on the verdict?
I don't believe she did at the date that the jury was returned. The jury verdict was returned. I believe she did that in May. The jury verdict came back in I believe it was early March 3rd or so of 2000. And after she denied the initial motions for judgment of acquittal that Morris had filed, she did enter a judgment on the verdict at that point. So I don't remember the exact date. I think it was May 11th or so.
But anyway, a judgment conviction was entered on the.
Yes, on both counts, and again, the defense has argued that this should be remanded so that she could enter some sort of judgment of acquittal. Again, it's nothing that she purported to do, and moreover, the government feels that she would not have authority to do that at this point either.
She hasn't sentenced anybody.
She sentenced the two defendants,
right,
who pled guilty, but she's not imposed any sentence on either count as to either Morris or Cummings. So the government's position at this point is that what this court ought to do is to reverse the district court's November 5th, 2001 new trial order and remand the case with directions to the district court to reinstate the guilty verdict and the judgments on count two, and to so that the district court can proceed to sentence the defendants on both counts as required by the law and the guidelines.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hill.
Thank you.
Mr. Hill?
Thank you. Good morning. I represent David Morris, and I'm arguing on behalf of Brenda Cummings also. We have an unusual situation here. The judge, the day before she acted, did not know what she was going to do, and she stated that. After the verdict was entered, she started reconsidering whether or not a RICO should have been entered in the first place. There was nothing wrong with the jury instruction, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What was flawed about it was that it shouldn't have been given in the first place. That was the problem that the judge had. She was groping with what is going on here. This jury instruction does not seem to fit the facts of this case. She says to herself, well, maybe if I give a new trial, I can figure out what to do. Well, we've got the limitations of the seven-day rule that restrain what she can do with respect to new trial motions. Even if you argue that Rule 33 is a permissive rule, which allows her maybe to grant a new trial based upon some inherent judicial authority, that has been disposed of by the 1966 amendments to Rule 33, which says that it's only got to be done on the basis of a motion. What happened here, Your Honors, is that Morris did not pay defendants to perform acts connected in some way with the management or operation of the enterprise. Nor did Brenda Cummings perform an act connected in some way with the management or operation of the enterprise. Morris essentially paid for stolen property that belonged to the enterprise. This is not bribery or official misconduct. This is theft. Thus, the judge's problem with the instruction was that it didn't fit those facts.
Well, did you move for a judgment of acquittal?
We had moved for a judgment of acquittal from, yes.
Okay,
yes, we did.
You denied that.
And you know what happened, Judge?
Well, after your client's sentence, you can appeal, can't you?
No, Judge, this is what occurred.
Look, answer my question. If we reverse, because you've acknowledged that she acted beyond her duty, your clients haven't been sentenced yet. When they're sentenced, they can appeal.
No, I would say.
No?
No. I mean, yes, they can appeal.
Okay.
But, Judge, what I think she was doing, she didn't know what to do.
I don't care what she was doing. She was I don't care what her, why do we care what her thinking was? She acted beyond her power, and you want an acquittal, and you can ask for that after the sentencing, when there's the final judgment.
Respectfully, I think what can be done is that if the instruction didn't fit the facts of the case to begin with, and if I may, the reason that she didn't grant the judgment of acquittal is because she forgot about the fact. The government conceded that we had raised the sufficiency of the evidence with respect to the bribery and the official misconduct. This case went on from, we filed that motion on November 9th, 1999. By the time it got back to the judge in 2000, when she acted sua sponte, she had forgotten about the fact that in a pretrial motion to dismiss and memorandum, I'd essentially said that the evidence is insufficient. I think what she should have done, was to reconsider the judgment of acquittal.
Well, it's too late for all that.
No, she could have. I'm sorry.
It's too late. You didn't file a cross appeal, and you couldn't. It would be premature. I don't understand how you can do anything until the sentencing is
completed. What I think can happen is that this court could say, Judge, we understand why you had a problem with the jury instruction. It didn't fit the facts of this case. What you should have done, and if you had given us an opportunity to brief it, we would have told you to reconsider your motion, the motion for judgment of acquittal. You can't enter a new trial motion. This caught Mr. Hines and myself by surprise. We walk into court and she says, sua sponte, we're granting a new trial motion. If she had asked, and given me an opportunity to present it, I would have been able to tell her that, in my opinion, the appropriate thing to do, Judge, the appropriate thing to do is to reconsider your denial of the motion for judgment of acquittal. I mean, you can see her problem with the facts of this case. In all of the hearings, you hear her talking about, wait, I don't think this is a RICO. This isn't a RICO. So, well, if it's not a RICO, you shouldn't be entering a jury instruction for a RICO. That's the problem. And she said the day before, she didn't know what to do with it. If she had asked, or we had been given an opportunity, we could have said what you should do.
But there still is no, we have no jurisdiction to consider your motion for acquittal.
I think you have jurisdiction to remand it back to the district court and ask the district judge, what is your problem?
No, we don't do things like that. She has to sentence these people, and then you can appeal if you don't like the sentences.
Well, that's our position, Judge. And, you know, I mean, when you look at the record here, it's clear that Judge Gottschall had forgotten that this very issue had been raised in a pretrial motion to dismiss, where we had talked about the evidence being insufficient. Yes, she acted right in not allowing this miscarriage of this to occur. She acted right. But if she had thought maybe that a little longer than just the day before, she would have noticed that the rules suggest that you can't do a new trial, even though you used it. There was a time when you could have, but that was pre-66, maybe, based on inherent powers. The appropriate relief would have been to enter a judgment of acquittal, if that's what you wanted to do. What this court can do is send it back for that clarification. Judge, are you essentially saying that what you want is some instructions from this court? You can send it back and say, it's not clear what you were attempting to do.
The only instruction, as your opponent says, is she should sentence these people and finish the case.
Fine.
And then you can appeal.
Okay,
thank you, Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Hines, do you have anything further?
No, I'm not sure I have any questions.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, well, thank you to both counsel. Last case.